حميد. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. وقال تعالى: وويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء مع من أحبه. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالف، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. On Saturday we were discussing what we have done for the first 20 days of Ramadan Mubarak, and we reached the point of Takbir-e-Tahreema, that when a person makes Takbir-e-Tahreema, in fact he is surrendering himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that now he leaves his thoughts, his vision of life, what he feels is important, and he surrenders totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person sees that way, that it is a way of submission. Allah, I submit to you totally, completely. And one is to absorb yourself from both the worlds, dunya and akhirat. And at that particular time, a person should have this thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's innumerable mercies are descending upon him. Hazrat Abdul Hamid Sahib says that more than what the Niagara Falls and the Victoria Falls pours water is the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person to tune himself into the mercy of Allah and understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercies are descending upon him. The other thing that is very, very important, that a person should contemplate, when I make takbir at tahreema, Allah ta'ala's attention is totally towards me. So when Allah's attention is towards me, how is it that I can purposefully turn my attention to something else? And it comes in the hadith also that Allah ta'ala does not turn his attention away from a person till he does not turn his attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah's undivided attention is towards you. You are the VIP of Allah at those moments when you make takbir at tahreema. So a person should have the thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's total attention is towards him. The mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend upon him in torrents. And then he will read thana. Thana primarily, it is thanaul kareem, dua'un. It is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it is a dua. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by praising him, whatever you require, Allah ta'ala will give you. And so, we start off with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, we read ta'awudh. Hazrat Abdul Hamid Sahib explains that ta'awudh is primarily because this is an occasion from taking from Allah's treasury. And shaitan is the harij, the barrier from taking from Allah's treasury. He knows how much you can get through salah. And what status you can reach through salah. So, he will make sure that you do not get to this, the status, and do not get what you require and what Allah is offering. So therefore, one is to fight shaitan directly and one is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to say, to get rid of shaitan for you. So therefore, that would be a'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. And then we started explaining Surah Fatiha, that Surah Fatiha, to understand, is a dialogue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes in Muslim Sharif, a hadith of Muslim Sharif, when a servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah responds, Hamidani Abdi, my servant has praised me. So with this thought, that my Allah is responding, not only is my Allah listening, or my Allah's attention towards me, but more than that, my Allah is even responding to me. And as Imam Abdul Hamid Sahib mentions, that some of the ashiks of Allah, that forget only hearing with the ears of their heart, have heard the response of Allah with the ears of the head. So with conviction, it is not just a recitation. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Hamidani Abdi, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Athna Alayya Abdi. Allah is acknowledging. One is you telling your wife all the things that you read from the CNA card, for instance, or what you downloaded from the internet. And she doesn't respond. She just looks. And you're pouring your heart out. You feel so down after that, that I've poured my heart to her and told her how much she means to me, and she doesn't even respond. Normally the women have a complaint about us generally. It's not the other way around, that men are not very romantic. You can pour your heart to them and just, like, okay, fine. Yeah, Allah responds. Insan feels offended, but yeah, Allah responds. Hamidani abdi, athna alayhi abdi, majjadani abdi. And then we discuss that you're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the crux is that ayat in between. This is a confession to Allah. And it is very, very important that we understand that in every salat we are making a confession to Allah. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. You alone do we worship and you alone do we seek assistance. When we have said this, how is it possible? After salat, immediately we're stretching our hands in front of somebody else and we're thinking somebody else can do our job for us. That I require him in my life. We just made a confession to Allah. That Allah, from you alone do I seek assistance. From you alone do I worship. And immediately after salah, you think, you know, in dua that, you know, I have to contact this guy, he will get my problem solved. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Then the place that we stopped was that what you have to ask, and Allah has taught us what to ask. This is Allah's great compassion upon us, that even He has given us the application form. And He is filling, so to say, the application form for us. To show that He is prepared to give us. Why would Allah ask us to make this dua if Allah is not prepared to give us hidayat? اِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us unto the straight path. And we should think that if it was left to us, what we would ask for trivial things. Allah has given us this prescription and told us to ask for the most superior, that is hidayat. اِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And hidayat, to understand, it is to take a person, so to say, by his hand and make him reach the destination with compassion and love. And one is to guide a person through a pathway. So, اِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. But Allah did not leave it like that, to guide us to the straight path. Allah defines for us what is the straight path. So we have no misconception of what the straight path is. If it was left to us, then probably according to our imagination, what we perceive the straight path to be. But Allah did not leave it to our imagination. Allah explains, Sirata al-ladina an'amta alayhim, the path of those whom Allah has favored. In which the Quran al-Kareem explains in another place, who are these people that Allah Ta'ala has favored? Al-ladina an'ama Allahu alayhim minan nabiyyin was-siddiqin was-shuhada'i was-salihin. Those that Allah has favored, obviously the most favorites of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His creation is the Anbiya alayhim salatu salam. And then the siddiqin. And we explain to basically what is a person that is sadiq fit taqwa. Sadiq fit taqwa, alladhi la yukhalifu zahiruhu batinahu wala batinuhu zahiruhu. A person whose outward and inward is in sync. There is no conflict. It's not that his outward is a show of piety, within he has all different thoughts. الَّذِي لَا يُخَالِفُ سِرُّهُ عَلَى نِيَتَهُ وَلَا عَلَى نِيَتُهُ سِرَّهُ. A person whose private life and public life is the same. Not that outside in front of people he's like a sheep, like a lamb, and at home he's like a tiger at home, that everybody is taking cover when he walks into the house. So that is not the person that is صادق في التقوى. الَّذِي لَا يُخَالِفُ أَقْوَالُهُ أَحْوَالَهُ وَلَا أَحْوَالُهُ أَقْوَالَهُ. That he's condition is the same. What he speaks and what is inside kayfiyat is the same. There is no contradiction. So this is what is maqsood. In order to become sadiq fit taqwa, to be genuine in taqwa. And amazing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, has mentioned siddiqeen before even shuhada. Whereas our thought would be that the ultimate sacrifice is to give your blood for Allah. But in terms of tartib, Allah has mentioned Anbiya first. Then Allah has mentioned Sadiqeen first. Then He has mentioned the Shuhada. My Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that there is a reason for this tartib. Because a Shaheed, he gives his, offers the ultimate once in his life, his blood. But for a person that is Sadiq fit Taqwa, every hour he has to transform his blood into water. Because there is a beautiful woman walking past, he has to lower his gaze. That means he has to, so to say, sacrifice his life and his jazbat every hour. So whereas a person that is a martyr, he gave his life once, he gave the ultimate success, and he has gained high proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So siddiqeen, wa shuhada'i wa saliheen, the martyrs and the righteous people. Sulaha we will basically refer to, because they are sadiqeen and sulaha. Sulaha will be those that primarily fulfill the fara'is, wajibat, sunnat al-mu'akkada, and they stay away from sin. The siddiqeen are those that are perpetually in the thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they've got this deep nisbat at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are not absent-minded about the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Hazrat says, Hazrat Hakim Sahib should explain, that when the siddiqeen, even in their joking, in their laughter, they are not ghafil of the presence of Allah. Hazrat Yusuf says, when the awliya of Allah smile and laugh, don't think that they are unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their laughing is not like ours out of negligence. Their laughing is also in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Bayan al-Quran, Mujaddid al-Millat wa Nashrat al-Thani rahmatullah alayh, quoting Allama Arusi Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh in this ayat al-Karima, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. So guide us to the straight path. So Hazrat says, in terms of Nahwa Qawaid, in terms of Nahwa regulation, and he quotes Allama Arusi Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, it is a mubaddal min. And Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim is a badal. Meaning that this is a replacement, so to say, or the further explanation, a deeper explanation of the first sentence. So in the first sentence we are asking, اِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ is the explanation. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, that in مُبَدَّلْ مِنْهُ and Badal, the maqsood is Badal, the second part. That means those that Allah Ta'ala favors is the maqsood, is the objective. So whom Allah favors, which the Quran Kareem explains, الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. From this we understand the importance of sohbat and the company of the pious. The first surah of the Quran Kareem, the first surah to be revealed in totality, is Surah Fatiha. The surah that Salat commence with is Surah Fatiha. The surah that the Quran Kareem starts with Surah Fatiha. The crux of Surah Fatiha is to ask for hidayat. And when it comes to hidayat, Allah Ta'ala does not make ishara towards His book, towards His kitab. He makes ishara to Rijalullah. And from this, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has written that in Surah Baqarah, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, when He talks of hidayat, He says, Hudallil Muttaqeen, He's talking of the kitab. But before the kitab, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of Rijalullah in Surah Fatiha, to show that Rijalullah are required. On one occasion, one person came to Mawlana Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullah Ali, and he asked the question, that isn't Kitabullah sufficient for our hidayat, when for our Islam? So Hazrat asked him very simply, then why are you not a Sahabi? So he said, because I did not get a Sahabat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Hazrat says, then why are you not a Tabi? He said, because I did not get the Sahabat of the Sahabi. So Hazrat said, then at least become a Tabi Tabi. So he said, but I did not get the Sahabat of the Tabi'in. So Hazrat said, then he told Hazrat, oh, I understood. That Sahabat is the thing that makes that person special. It was Sahabat that made them special. That's why we can't become Sahabi. No matter what kitabs we read, what mujahada we make, we can't become a Tabi'in. No matter what mujahada we make, because there isn't Sahabat. So he said, he understood. On one occasion, in which Hazrat Hakim Sahib explains, there's an ajeeb malfooz of Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh. He says, worth writing gold, Hazrat used to say. That a person that has got the sohbat of the pious, the one minimum guarantee is he will never become mardood. Yes, fisk might come in his life, open sin might come in his life, but he will never live the fold of Islam through the barakat of sohbat. And then Hazrat gives dalil for this. Hazrat said, Al-marwu ala dini khalili. فَلْيَنْدُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. This is dalil to show that inshallah a person that has sohbat, and Hazrat used to explain, but a protected period of sohbat. Because this hadith also, al-mar'u ala dini khalili, فَلْيَنْدُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ, as Hakim Sahib used to explain, that the sohbat should be husne sohbat and husne rafaqat, for a prolonged period of time and a very good relationship. Not times only, kabi kabi, psalm states, but continuous. And then inshallah, the color will change. And then Hazrat explains, that what is the jazbat of the sheikh? What is the thinking of the sheikh? What is the speech of the sheikh? What is the piety of the sheikh? That will basically be transferred to a person. Then Hazrat Hakim Sahib also explains, quoting Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, that tabi'at, temperament is such, that it has salahiyat, and it has ability of jazb, of attraction. When you attract, when you place your heart to somebody that you love, then his tabiat, his temperament will pull you towards him. So you just need to sit in his company. What does husni aqidah, what good aqidah, and see soon inshallah that all those qualities that are in him will be transferred without you even understanding. Then people tell you, now you speak like your shaykh also, you look like your shaykh also. Because this is husni rafaqat, and this is the barakat of husni rafaqat. And at the same time have aqidah and muhabbat of the shaykh. And the Quran Kareem is making ishara towards us at the beginning in the first surah. And you cannot, your salat is not complete without surah Fatiha. And you have to ask for hidayat. Not only hidayat, but Allah defines what is hidayat and the path of sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim walad-dallin. Just a few points regarding the sohbat. What do we get? Because we're discussing this and we're emphasizing this all the time and the importance of it. One is, I just explained what Mawlana Abdul Ghani Pulpuri rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, what Mujaddid al-Millat Mawlana Ashraf Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned. Hazrat Hakim Sahib has explained a few points, that the first benefit of the sohbat of the Shaykh, which the Quran is making ishara towards, sirat al-ladin an'amta alayhim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's muhabbat becomes compulsory for such a person. And Hazrat gives dalil, he says, wajabat muhabbati lil-mutahabbina fiyya. My love become compulsory, hadith al-Qudsi of Nabi sallallahu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that wajabat muhabbati lil-mutahabbina fiyya. That my muhabbat becomes compulsory for those that make love for each other, that make love to one another. That means the only purpose you come in to the Shaykh is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you know that you are to find Allah through him. And you show love towards him because of Allah. And because of that, immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love becomes compulsory for you. So the one in'am, the first in'am of this kunum as-sadiqeen is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love becomes wajib for you. And that which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also was instructed, wasbir nafsaka ma'al ladina yad'una rabbahum bil ghadati wal ashi. That Allah instructed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to also sit in the company of the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. Then Hazrat explains that the second benefit of the sohbat, kunum as-sadiqeen, which is referred to in Surah Fatiha, is halawat al-iman, sweetness of iman. Through the barakat of sohbat of the shaykh, a person will get halawat al-iman. And Hazrat Hakim Sahib gives dalil for that. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, talatun man kunna fihi. Three things are, if it found in a person, wajada bihinna halawat al-iman, the person will find the sweetness of iman. Man kana Allahu wa rasuluhu ahabba ilayhi mimma siwahuma. That if Allah and His Rasul are more beloved to him than besides Allah and His Rasul, that Allah and His Rasul becomes the most beloved. One is to make the claim, every Muslim you will ask, that who you love most, he will say Allah. Then who you love next, he said the Rasul. But really the proof is, when the taqaza of dunya, the taqaza of nafs, and the taqaza and the requirement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes together at the same time, what you give preference towards. One is, the time of Asr is very very busy in the shop, and one is a muadzin calling out. Now we'll know who you love more, Allah or His Rasul. One is what the wife is telling you, that is making a demand which is ghair shari, and one is the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In whose love will you go towards? So you will be tested all the time. That man ahabba, man kana Allahu wa rasuluhu ahabba ilayhi mimma siwahuma. Then the second point, wa man ahabba abdan la yuhibbuhu illa lillah. If a person loves a servant and he doesn't love him but for the sake of Allah, that means the only reason for loving him is for Allah's sake. And that is the reason that you show muhabbat towards the Shaykh, is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore you will get halawat iman. And the third, وَمَن يَكْرَهُ أَن يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ أَن كَرَّهَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ. A person that detests returning to kufr after Allah ta'ala has safeguarded him from kufr. So a person will get halawat iman. Now the question is, there's a very very important point. How do you know, and what are the signs that you have got halawat iman? And how do you deduce halawat iman? So that explains that halawat, when have you got halawat iman, sweetness of iman, first of all, is istidrad bit ta'at. When you find great enjoyment in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. You don't perform salat reluctantly. Your heart is inclined towards it. You're waiting for salat time so that you can make sujood in front of Allah. You can make ruku in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're waiting for those moments at night to wake up at tahajjud, to make sweet whispers to Allah, to cry your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istidlal bit ta'at. This is a sign of halawat iman. The second sign that you got halawat iman, itharuha ala jami shahwat wal mustalazat. That you give preference to Allah's obedience. Itharuha, yani ila ita'atillah. You give preference towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over your carnal desires and things that give you enjoyment. And the third sign, Hazrat writes, وَتَحَمُّ الْمُشَاقِ فِي مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. That you will undergo difficulty and you will undergo difficulty in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul. No matter what mujahada you have to give, you are prepared to give that. And the fourth, تَجَرُّ الْمُرَارَاتِ فِي الْمُصِيبَاتِ. You will be prepared to take difficulty in difficult times. So this will all be also a sign that now you got halawat iman. And the fifth, وَالْرِضَى بِالْقَضَى. To be happy with whatever Allah ta'ala decides is a sign of halawat iman. On one occasion, Hazrat explains, Hazrat Hakim Sahib explained, Shah Abdul Ghani Puri Rahmatullah Ali, tell me what is the maqam, what is the position that is higher than that of ikhlas. So Mawlana Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that, I do not know, as Hakim Sahib, Mawlana Shabdul Thani Rahmatullah Ali said, the maqam that is higher than ikhlas is Radha Bil Qadr and Radha Bil Qadha. That is the highest maqam, where a person comes to that condition, whatever Allah decides for me is good for me. He can see goodness in a situation that we can see only harm. In everything he sees goodness. Even in difficulty he sees goodness. He knows that Allah is making just towards him, or Allah Ta'ala is pulling him towards him through the difficulty. He knows that in that there is lessons for me. In this there is ways of for me, for my sins being forgiven. In this there is, if I make sabr accordingly, then my status will be raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no matter how bitter the situation outwardly will be, he will find solace in it because he knows that this condition is from Allah. وَالْرِضَى بِالْقَضَى. And then Hazrat explains that Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned, as far as halawat iman is concerned, that one's anna halawat iman إِذَا دَخَلَ الْقَلْبًا لَا تَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ أَبَدًا. When halawat iman comes in the heart of a person, it will never leave a person. This is one thing that will remain till death. Hazrat Hakim Sahib used to emphasize this point, that even when for غَدَّ basar, look after your eyes, one of the benefits of his halawat iman, and halawat iman is such a blessing that once you receive it, Allah Ta'ala will never take it away from you. So that was the third benefit. That the third benefit was with the sohbat of the mashayikh and the love for the mashayikh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you halawat iman. The fourth, Hazrat explains, that you will get the dua of the malaika and they will make dua of your of taqarrub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. And Hazrat gives the dalil, إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ إِذَا خَرَجَ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ زَائِرٌ أَخَاهُ. When a person leaves his house visiting his brother, شَيَّ اللَّهُ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ مَلَكٍ. 70,000 malaika accompany him. كُلُّهُمْ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَيْهِ. Each one making dua maghfirat for him. وَيَقُولُونَ. And they also say, رَبَّنَا إِنَّهُ وَسَلَ فِيكَ فَسِلْهُ. That for your sake he has joined ties. He has left his house, which he has left his country. The different countries the brothers have come from. And they have come to join ties for your sake, Ya Allah, to receive you. وَسَلَ فِيكَ فَسِلْهُ. And Hazrat explains that فَسِلْهُ, that means, oh Allah, join him to you then. Join him to you. So from this also, that the dua that the malaika make for you of taqarrub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through you visiting the mashayikh. Because remember, your nisbat with them is only for Allah's sake. There is no other ulterior motive. There is no ulterior motive. And Hazrat Hakim Sahib used to explain that you say that the awliya of Allah, that they like to understand, they are not Allah, but they are not separate from Allah either. And he says, people find it difficult to understand. He says, to understand by example, one is the sun and one is the rays of the sun. One is the sun and one is the rays of the sun. Obviously, the rays of the sun is not the sun, but it's not separate from the sun either. So, when sitting here, understand in which company we are sitting, and with what i'tiqad we should have, what muhabbat. Very, very soon that i'tiqad and muhabbat of a person can make a person go very, very far in a very short period of time. So the fourth is that you get the dua of the malaika at the same time that they make dua of taqarrub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that. Then as it explains that the fifth benefit of the sohbat and husn rafaqat, that on a day of qiyamah you will be resurrected with those that you love. And that hadith, one is that لو أن عبدين تحابا في الله عز وجل واحد في المشرق وآخر في المغرب لجمع الله بينهما يوم القيامة يقول هذا الذي كنت تحبه فيا. That if two people love one another for Allah's sake, one in the east, one in the west, even if they for some reason cannot meet. But Allah Ta'ala will gather them on the day of Qiyamah, and He will say, this is the person for my sake you have loved. For that person, because of my sake you have loved, now I will join you in Jannah also together. And then the sixth benefit, that on the day of Qiyamah, under you will get shade in under the arch of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that hadith where seven people will be under the arch of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as it explains from that hadith, وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ اِجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. Two people that love for Allah ta'ala's sake, they gather for Allah ta'ala's sake, and they separate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. They will also basically be under the arch of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The seventh benefit, Hazrat says, that Allah ta'ala makes ikram of that person. And Allah ta'ala loves that person. Because to lower yourself in front of the shaykh is for what purpose? For Allah's sake. So the Hazrat has given this dalil. Man tawada'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. The person who humbles himself for Allah's sake. Yeah, we understand it's for Allah's sake. But even for the shaykh, you're only doing it because of Allah. So that you can get Allah through him. So it is counted in humbling yourself for Allah. Rafa'ahu Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise you. Then Hazrat mentioned the second dalil. Ma ahabba abdun abdan lillah illa akram Allahu rabba azza wa jal. Nobody loves another servant for Allah's sake, but Allah ta'ala will honor him. So through the sohbat of the shaykh, you will get honored. You'll get honored through the sohbat of the shaykh. So that was the seventh benefit. Then as it mentions, the eighth benefit, that inshallah, and I mentioned that tabiyat, which Mujaddid al-Millat Mawla Ashraf Thani rahmatullah alayhi, has mentioned that Allah ta'ala has placed the salahiyat, the ability within tabiyat, in the nature of person, of jazbat, of attraction. That when you incline yourself to a person's tabiat, to his temperament, then immediately his temperament will pull you towards him. So this is one very easy way of getting towards Allah. That link your heart with the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his mizaj, his temperament, his tabiat will become yours. And Hazrat explains this hadith, Al-Mar'u ala deeni khalili, falyandur ahadukum man yukhalil. But Hazrat mentions one point, that in this we should be careful. One is we say we are at a certain shaykh, husni rafaqat is required. That means prolonged period of sohbat at the same time, and it should be a kind, good form of companionship. So that was the eighth benefit of the kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Then Hazrat mentioned the ninth benefit, that you'll get ma'iyat in Jannat, al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. And look at the Sahaba, what intelligence they had. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith, al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala was listening, and he said that nothing pleased me on the surface of the earth more than two occasions. One is the occasion when I accepted Islam. There was never a greater day in my life than the day I have accepted Islam. And the second thing is the day when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this hadith. Now I knew my work is done. My work is done. Because I've got muhabbat of the Rasul. So when the Nabi has mentioned al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba, a person will be with whom he loves. Then look at his intelligence. He immediately mentioned softly to himself, inni uhibbullah wa rasulahu wa Aba Bakr wa Umar. So that was the, what benefit? Ninth benefit. The tenth benefit, that they will be placed on members of Noor. And as it mentions the hadith, Al-Mutahabuna fi Jalali, lahum manabiru min Noor. Those that love one another for my grandeur, for my sake, they will be on pulpits of Noor on the day of Qiyamah. So there is great benefit in this, inshallah. That, as we mentioned, that two things are required. One is Aqidah, that through the Shaykh, inshallah, I will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, to have extreme muhabbat for the Shaykh. And this is pointed out towards in the Quran Kareem. اِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ نَعْمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. One other point that Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned in Ma'arif al-Quran, in the explanation of his ayat al-Karima, there are two things. One is Rijalullah, that, and one is Kitabullah. So both we should be inclined towards. He says, unfortunately, many people that are in the activity of tasawuf, etc., have got no inclination towards deen et ta'lim, ta'lim of deen and knowledge of Quran and Kareem. So he said, that is also incorrect. On the other hand, are those that are inclined only towards Kitabullah, have got no inclination towards Rijalullah. From the Quran and Kareem, we understand that both are required. And at the same time, we should understand that Allah has mentioned Rijalullah first, and then has mentioned Kitabullah. So keep both in mind, inshallah, this will be highly effective in reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then as far as the tafsir is concerned, ulama have mentioned, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. That غير المغضوب is not the path. So one is, look at the beauty of the Quran. One is Allah is telling you that make dua and ask me of hidayat. Allah is giving you prescription. That this is the word that you should realize. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. Then Allah did not leave it like that. Allah went further to explain, when I say Sirat al-Mustaqim, what do I mean by Sirat al-Mustaqim? The path of the Anbiya, the path of the Sadiqeen, the path of the Shuhada, the path of the Salihin. Then Allah does not stop there. Explain as to whose path is not meant. So we don't have any misconception whatsoever. This is Allah's fazl that goes further to explain that which path we are talking about. This is the path of those whose path not. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. That not the path of those that have earned the wrath of Allah, the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And generally that is what the Mufassirin have referred to the Jews, that despite knowing, they prophesied the coming of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the scriptures. They warned the people and they have said they would get victory with the coming of the last Nabi. So they, despite their knowledge, did not follow him. Because of their own protection, being from the Banu Israel, etc., and he was from the Arab, and because of stubbornness within, and because of jealousy, they did not accept. But they were people that did not accept despite knowledge. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَالْضَالِينَ are those that out of negligence, primarily it is referred to the Christians, etc., in the tafsir. But what is the point for us? The point for us is that on one side we are telling Allah in salat every day, اِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. Guide us to the straight path. To an extent, we are defining the straight path. Sirat al-ladin an'amta alayhim. And at the same time, we are saying, not the path. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Then how is it possible, while we are making these utterances, we are coming with their keepers to the masjid. That of the Jews and the Christians. What they are promulgating and what they are advertising and what their lahwa wa la'ib engages is all about, that is what we are coming with to the masjid. Our clothing is completely that. We are telling Allah not this path, but at the same time our whole outward is completely to that. And it's beautiful if you walk in the corridor of the madrasa, coming to the masjid, and there's written there, if you read the Qila li Sheikh Yusuf Kandelwi, Udhu al Yahud al Nasara. And today everybody is making Badwa, and as I mentioned it in yesterday's program also, that our heart should bleed for the people of Palestine. But truly, till the situation does not come where Masjid al-Aqsa are getting full for Fajr Salat and Isha Salat and Juma Salat the same, the time will not change. The situation will not change. Years back, Ghaliban, it was Mullah Umar Palampuri Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned this, that when they went in the 50s to Masjid al-Aqsa, at that particular time, it was the Imam and the Muaddin. And then also it was very, very intriguing that the Muaddin, he used to call out the Adhan, he should call out the Takbir, but should not perform Salat. So Hazrat asked him, that how is it that you call out the Adhan, you call out the Takbir, but when time for Salat comes, then you walk away. He said, because I'm paid to call out the Adhan and the Takbir. So then, alhamdulillah, things have improved since then. But still now, there's how many thousands of people living in that very same compound of Masjid al-Aqsa, and how many people are present for Fajr Salat? Truly, these are serious questions that we have to ask. One is, the heart is crying for the situation there. And it's supposed to be such. And that is what a Muslim's jazbat is supposed to be. Al-Muslimuna ka rajulin wahidin, in ishtaka aynuhu, ishtaka kulluhu, wa in ishtaka rasuhu, ishtaka kulluhu. That is definite. But at the same time, the tariq, mashallah, I read, Mala Hussein Salih is here also, he can verify this, that when his brother Mufti Ibrahim Sariji met the Imam of Masjid al-Aqsa, and when the last intifada took place, and he explained, I asked Mufti Sahib that, unfortunately with the Palestinian people, very few people in the world stood up. When the uprising took place, first and foremost, we didn't get much help from the Arab countries, etc. So the Mufti Sahib listened to his plight and his cry from the heart. The Mufti Sahib told him one thing very, very important. He said that in Bayan al-Quran, I read Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi giving tashree of one ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, that Baytullah, Allah has taken promise of safeguard, irrespective of what the condition of the Muslims will be. If you look at Abraha, at that time there was only shirk even in Baytullah. Even in the Kaaba there were idols. The Kaaba was full of idols. But Allah had taken the guarantee of safeguarding it, so He sent His own army. But when it comes to Masjid-e-Aqsa, it will totally depend on the halat and the imani quwwat of the Muslims. That Allah has left it, if the imani quwwat is of the Muslims is of such a level, then Allah Ta'ala will give it in their hands, Allah will give them aman, security, etc. And if it's not of that nature, then unfortunately they will be, have to be under the control of somebody else. So Hazrat was so impressed with the jawab, he said, where did you read this? He said, he read it in Bayan al-Quran. So then he asked that why isn't the work of your mashayikh that they are written in Urdu translated into Arabic? So we also get a better understanding. So it is the condition of the ummah we should see, that we should transform. And so I was mentioning about not the path of the Jews and the Christians. So it's written there on the masjid, if you walk into the corridor, it was asked of Mawlana Yusuf Kandelwi rahmatullahi alayhi, Mawlana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi of doubt and tabligh, that make dua against the Jews and the Christians. What did he said? Allahumma khruj al-yahudiyata wal-nasraniyata min kulubil muslimin. Take out this ideology and the way of the Jews and Christians from the heart of the Muslims. So one is to make bad-dua against them. But totally your entire attire from head to toe is this. Your jazbat is this. What they think is important, what they give preference towards, what they feel is comfortable, what they feel is a standard of life is your standard of life. So we can carry on making bad-dua. And as I explained this yesterday, that on the 29th night, the ummah is crying out in Masjid al-Haram, in Baytullah, in Masjid al-Nabawi, in Masjid al-Aqsa, throughout the world they are crying against the Jews and the Christians. But unfortunately they still got ghalba. The first step is to take out the tariq, which we are confessing to Allah every day in the Quran al-Kareem. Our hairstyle is this, our clothing is this, the jacket, everything is what they think is important. At times I'm astounded because I'm teaching in the girls' madrasa when I just look at the shoe rack and the shoes. Then honestly, sometimes we wonder whether we even utilize our intelligence in wearing clothing. What we wouldn't want to be seen dead in 5 years ago, we'll wear today. Because it is fashion, which we might term as the thing of the 60s. But if they bring it again, we'll wear it. It doesn't, whether it makes sense or not. I can remember at one stage we were in school. Unfortunately, even to take these names of these kuffar, etc., in the masjid is not even becoming. But the style was wearing stovepipe trousers, 3/4, with white socks. If you asked a Muslim at that time to wear 3/4 trousers because of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person wouldn't want it. But he would wear it that looks like a stovepipe that is clinging to his leg, and 3/4 with white socks and navy blue trousers, it was fine. So غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. So the next time you're reading Surah Fatiha in Salat, just ponder for 1 minute. What confessions am I making? And if I'm genuine, we say that we don't find peace within ourselves. We will never find peace till we are not genuine. Till we don't become genuine. Not our utterance is one, our jazbat is another. Our utterance in Quran, in Salat is one, our jazbat is something else. How can there be peace? There will be always a turmoil within. We will not find satisfaction. We will spend a chilla here also. But if our jazbat hasn't changed by sitting here, we will not find inner peace. We will not find inner peace. So, what is the requirement? Is to be truthful to our utterance. When we are telling Allah, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَضَّالِينَ, to check our wardrobes, to check what is of my jazbat, what is my standard of success? What is the barometer? Is it the life of the Sahaba? Is it a life of what the Christians and the Jews have portrayed to us, or of amassment of wealth? Is that success? غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَضَّالِينَ. Fine enough. Padna Surah Fatiha ka aur milana ek aur surah ka wajib hai. To read Surah Fatiha and to join another surah is wajib. Aur parna audhu aur bismillah ka sunnat hai. To read ta'awud and tasmiyah is sunnat before it. Aur us maqam par surah ikhlas yani kul huwallah likhi jati hai. And after this, Hazrat has mentioned Surah Ikhlas. Inshallah, we'll discuss that tomorrow. So, truly, each one, we take some time today and reflect. That this inner peace, I will not enjoy till I am not genuine in what I am saying. There will be a perpetual turmoil in my life. I will not find enjoyment in ibadat. There will be no inclination towards tilawat other than just to make the khatam for the sake of making the khatam, etc. Because we haven't made niyat yet. Like as it says, that the first bayan, generally in the first bayan of Ramadan, is that have we made niyat of taqwa? That Allah has spelled out this month to be the month of taqwa. So we should ask the question, have we even made niyat yet to remove the life of the Jews and Christians from my life? And do I genuinely want the way of ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, the pathway of the anbiya, the siddiqeen, the shuhada, and the salihin? Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah.